have to start looking at law and start knowing law and start knowing who we are.
Thank you for that, T. Praise. And it's funny, your comment is going to lead us into the next session for the young men, because we ask them, what are the things that we in the community can do? What are the things that we can do to help? Because it seems like we've got a lot of programs, a lot of different things going on, but how do we get that penetration? How do we really get into these gentlemen and help them? Let's listen again to the voices of these young men.
We got to take our communities back. You know, if we want to see change and build, we got to do it ourselves, because no one else is going to help us. So, you know, it's a matter of educating our people. Like you said, you know, reading, we need to get them back to writing, you know, because we get that, then we get the literacy where it needs to be. And we don't have our young brothers feeling like school is not where it's at and the streets is where it's at. So once we do that, I think we'll truly see a change and things will start to change. But we got to do it.
Now reflecting back on my childhood, I felt like when I went into a classroom, people automatically assumed that the African kids couldn't learn, or the African American. When I say African, I mean if you got dark skin, you African. No matter, you know, people they aren't proud to say they're African, but you're African. But they think automatically that you can't read. I hear that now when I go into the schools and teach my workshops. The teachers always say, "Well, they can't learn, so we got to figure out a way to teach them." How can you say that somebody can't learn? And then you are the teacher. It's supposed to be your responsibility to teach these kids, and you steady talking about you can't learn. They already at a disadvantage off the rip from the jump. They at a disadvantage. In our schools, I remember growing up, I've never learned anything positive, you know, on a large enough scale to be impactful about my history. I didn't start learning about my history until I started looking for it myself. There isn't any literature about history before slavery. So black kids or African kids, African girls and boys that grow up with this low self-esteem, that people were slaves, so they act like slaves. So now what is our role in society today is to make other people money, because we were taught that we were slaves. We didn't talk that we started writing. We're not taught that we invented thinking. So we don't think like that. No, we act like we're supposed to make people money.
It takes people who are willing to show up. And by that I mean show up, I mean be present. Give me a reason to trust you. Give me a reason to be vulnerable with you. Stop treating me from the perspective of what's wrong with me and look at me from the perspective of what's happened to me. Because at the end of the day, regardless of what I do, go to school or go to prison, you're already going to assume something about me. You're counting me out before you even get to know this person. So show up. If you're a pastor, if you're a guidance counselor, if you're just somebody cool in the neighborhood, show up and give me a reason to be transparent and tell my story. Because that story, those common experiences, we all feel, but yet we're never given the space to talk authentically.
In my case, the devil didn't steal anything. I literally called him, gave him my phone number on the checks, I gave him the address to where to come get me, and he eventually picked up my friends. I gave him my family relations. I gave him my freedom. He didn't steal mine. So I don't give him that enough credit. I gave it to him. But I never gave up on me. Even there were times when my father would not accept my phone call from prison, I can't be mad at him because he didn't raise me that way. No one believed that my life would turn around but me.
You're listening to The Local Take Presents Discourse, a dialogue for understanding. And we just heard clips from Jobias McLester, Derek Standardfer, Rick Rush, and Artis Bronson. So what I felt from all of these young men was a sense of wanting to engage, of wanting to share, of wanting us as community members to get to know them. David, how can we go about doing that? How can we turn this around a little bit?
Well, it's time to reach back to what's already been done and not forget that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that sacrificed their life so we can have an opportunity today. And I'm talking about the civil rights movement. You know, we had great leaders and we had a great platform that allowed us to get to where we're at today, to have the freedom of choice. But it seems that, you know, like the young man mentioned, a lot of us have forgotten that integration wasn't so positive for us. And the chain of information kind of gets lost. And I think what it's time for us to do as Black people is get back to the spirit of community. You know, the barter system, working together, not leaving when you get your degree and moving to the suburbs and thinking that you have to be accepted into other communities, but rather bringing back the resources and reinvesting into our communities. And the investment isn't just money all the time. It's your time. It's your expertise. It's your knowledge. It's your heart. And through that, it'll empower and enable us as Black people to move forward just one step at a time, two step at a time, you know. And I tell the young guys this year, my theme has been, you need to be as gangster as Harriet Tubman. You know, you need to be as tough as Harriet Tubman, because Harriet went through the muck, the mire, and created a network of people that wasn't just Black. There were white people, and there were Black people, and they were working together for a common good of getting us to a certain point and then coming back and getting more people. So as a community, we need to learn how to keep the chain and the elbows locked and the feet moving forward one step at a time, and understanding that this country wasn't built for us, but we did help build this country. And together, we can make a positive impact.
So, David, you were one of the facilitators with the Community Council of Metro Atlanta for the Priority Mail Institute Conversations. Could you tell us a little bit about that organization and how people can get in touch with that group?
That's a group you can look up online. It's one of the many organizations that I volunteer time with. I was asked to volunteer, to moderate, but I actually worked through Morehouse School of Medicine with Promise Neighborhoods, which is an initiative, the first educational initiative signed by the president to support our communities from birth through college. I'm also a volunteer at the Parents as Partners Academic Center at Kennedy Middle School through Atlanta Public School. And what I do there is male engagement and fatherhood engagement. And it's old school. You know, it's all about reaching out to the community and providing information and the conduit to the resources, making sure that the people need help have an avenue to get help. The Community Council of Atlanta is run by Norma Barnes, and Norma Barnes has a heart for the young people, specifically Black men, and making sure that they have no barriers to them being successful. So, you know, through going to different events, I met Norma, and I was really, really inspired to come out and work. So if you need to get in contact with that organization, you can look them up through Google, communitycouncilofatlanta.com. Yeah.
Community Council of Metro Atlanta. And Dr. Gary White, we were just listening to the gentleman talk about what the community can do and how the community can reach out to them. Let us know about your organization, but also, we've got a lot of organizations. We've got a lot of community groups that are reaching out and helping. What takes us to the next level? How do we get to the next step? As David Branch was just saying, how do we get everyone to lock arms and move us forward?
A couple of things. Number one, beginning with my organization, Let Us Make Man. And you can reach us at www.letusmakeman.net. This is an example in terms of the work that we do. This organization is made up of attorneys, psychologists, educators, ministers. You name the gamut of the professional radio personalities, elected officials. We have all those pieces together, and it's just 15 of us. And every year, Brother Derek Bozeman, who's our the leader of the organization, every year we do workshops free. We give out the manuals, we give out the pamphlets, everything we give out, and we do these workshops throughout the state of Georgia, absolutely free. Why do we do that? Because this is the when and where we enter part of what we're doing in terms of organizing. Now, please understand, even with that organization, everything that should divide a group of 15 Black men unites us. And so we're made up of different fraternities, all the different fraternities, but that doesn't divide us. We're made up of several different religious groups, but that doesn't divide us. We're made up of different professions, and that doesn't divide us either. And the reason why that's so important, because often there are more things. We find ourselves being divided. We can divide much faster than we can add. And that's problematic within our behavior. So when I'm listening to these young men talk and what we can do in terms of our movement and our work, here's what I realize. And again, this brother just touched on it. I want our young men to begin by studying the movements.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, yes, we can go all the way back to ancient Kemet. We could do that. We can go through slavery and understand what they're doing. But you know, we can pick up at the civil rights movement as well. You know, a lot of people don't realize that right there at Paschal's, Old Paschal's, mm-hmm. is where King and others, with the assistance of the Paschal brothers, did a lot of planning. I'm from Richmond, California, the Bay Area, and so while we were not privy to much of the great work that was taking place in the South because of the selective education, everyone knew about the Black Panther Party, and everyone knew how they educated themselves. Number one began with understanding the law and knowing your legal rights. And so when we studied these things, that when I talk about challenging a question in the system, when we looked at the Black Panther Party and what they did, before they changed the laws about the right to bear arms, those brothers went to Sacramento and they panicked with the guns, but they understood that and the law changed. But that same group also did work in terms of feeding the hungry and the needy. And so I'm going to tell young brothers, yes, you can jump up and start, but guess what? I think it's more critical that you do the education to find out who's doing that which is closest to what you're passionate about, and jump in because the water warm.
I think that's very interesting that it always comes back to education. And when we talk to young people about how important education is, it seems sometimes they don't get it. And I know we're in a society now where it's instant education. You can Google whatever you need to know. But David Branch, could you let us know why that education and going back and that study is so important, especially for African-American men?
Well, it's important for you to know yourself. And when I say know yourself, I don't mean know yourself from the perspective of pop culture or know yourself from what society wants you to know. But you need to reach back to the elders, right, and the historians and find out who you are, what person you come from, what people you represent, because that'll give you that empowerment to be able to move forward confidently when you know who you are. Because when I was 18, 19, 20, although I had a lot of information in my head, I didn't truly know who I was. And it wasn't until I started understanding who I was as a man, as a Black man, you know, as a person, that I was able to take concrete steps in the ground and say, okay, this is where I stand. And this is who I am. And once you learn who you are, you can't sit still. And that's the biggest problem that I think we have, is lack of information, correct information, and too much talk, not enough work. Mm. You know, because we have a habit of Black people as moving the dirt around. Mm. But if someone don't pick up the dirt and sweep it up, we still got a bunch of mud.
So you're listening to The Local Take Presents Discourse, a dialogue for understanding. We're joined in the studio this morning by David Branch, a community organizer and facilitator with the Community Council of Metro Atlanta, and Dr. Gary White with Let's Make Man and an adjunct professor at Clark Atlanta University. And Dr. White, you were itching to say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited, brother. I love you to death because he's really hitting it right on when he's talking about stirring the dirt. You know, something that I come to realize that I want everyone to plug in their mind. And that's this, understanding the strengths perspective. I think one of the challenges, and they teach that at Clark Atlanta University, Whitney M. Young Jr. School of Social Work, it's called the African-centered or the Afrocentric perspective, which is housed in this notion of a strengths perspective. And this is why that's so important. We have been preoccupied and conditioned to focus on the problems. And we focus on the problem so much that we tend to think that the problem is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they tell you that when they tell you that 65% of the children are raised in female-headed households, that means there's another percentage that is not. They tell you when they talk about the look to your left and look to your right, and so many of these young Black males will not graduate from college. But here's something that I know. In May every year, we see those who did. And so our challenge is that we need to, and understand this, the European educational system has taught us, and I'm a professor, And I teach research methods, so understand this. They train us to focus and study on the problem. Mm-hmm. And you do your hypotheses and everything around the problem. But the strengths perspective says, I can learn just as much, if not more, from what's working. And here's what I mean. I've been married 20 years. We've been with my wife 25 years, who's also a professor here, Dr. Celeste White, in the Criminal Justice Department. But here's what I understand is that when you want to understand marriage, people will preoccupy us with the number of divorce rate, the number of people. But guess what? No one asks the couples who've been together. So it becomes critical that we refocus or reshift, because we can get stuck in the problem and neglect the strengths perspective. And so that's why I want to challenge us to say, if you want to begin to do a movement, if you want to start doing some work, look and see who's doing it, where it's working, and then take that great thing and grow it.
Dr. White, I think you touched on something. A lot of young people feel like they need to make their own way. And what you said, David, is before you start making your way, look back and see what people already did, because you might not have to reinvent the wheel. You might be able to grow from where they started. And that brings us right into the next segment with the young men. One of the things that I asked these gentlemen was that if you could go back in time and tell your 14 or 15-year-old self something, what would that something be? And in talking with a lot of parents and a lot of people about these conversations that are about this upcoming show. So that my kid needs to hear that. They need to hear this. So let's listen. Let's hear what the young man said. They tell their younger selves that they had an opportunity. Michael, I want to start with you this time. If you could go back, if you could go back and tell your 14, 15-year-old self something, you know, one or two things that you could tell that 14 or 15-year-old you, what would it be?
Michael? Stay out the street. Don't be thugging so hard. Don't be so quick to try to go to McDonald's and get tricked to the probation office. And they put you on probation and, you know, all that or whatever. But Don't be so quick to try to fit in, man. You know, I feel like that's a lot of things that's going on now. People trying to fit in, they trying to prove themselves. You know, you feel like you had to. Me myself, I feel like you don't have to prove yourself to nobody, man. I mean, if a person can't accept you for you, screw them. You know, straight up.
Keep moving forward. Yeah. And Brian, what would you tell that 14, 15-year-old you?
The same thing I tell my little sister now. Shut up and do it. Mom is right. It's that simple. If I would have listened, I'd probably be a lot farther in what I want to do now, which is music. You know, I still do it. I do it. That's my career. That's my career path. That's my life choice. That's what I'm going to do. You know, positive life-changing music. Listen to mom.
And Jabias, if you could go back to that 14, 15-year-old Jabias, what would you tell him?
What I would tell him is, stop trying to make a living and live for your making. And to also, you know, fight with your mind instead of your fist.
So again, I felt so good after talking to these young men because they get it. You know, I'll just let you know, Jabias was 22, Brian was 22, and Michael Johnson there was 29. We missed a cut from Matthew 19, who talked about the transcript. He talked about getting a job and passing the assessment test, passing the interview, you know, passing everything. And then they ask him for his high school transcript. And he's like, transcript? And these children know in school, they hear it. I mean, everyone still hears you got a permanent record folder. It's going to follow you for the rest of your life. But for some reason, it didn't click in the 9th and 10th grade, you know, 14 and 15. And that's what one of the gentlemen said. You know, he had to apply for a job and show his transcript and was mortified that after passing all of these assessment tests, he had to explain the F's that he made in the 9th and 10th grade. How fair is it for us to judge these young men and hold them accountable for the things that they do in the 9th and 10th grade.
I mean, welcome to America.
Yeah, there we go.
At the end of the day, you know, and if you listen, this is why I encourage the younger guys to make sure that they learn the art of respect and dialogue with the older generation. If you listen to the older generation, they will explain to you where the strategic attack is and how we've been systematically oppressed and how it's now been corporate. You know, it's corporate now. So, you know, just to piggyback on the dialogue that the young man just shared with us, is I would tell my 15-year-old self and, you know, brothers and sisters, govern yourself accordingly. Govern yourself accordingly, because your reputation is going to be your representative most of the time. And a lot of the times there are extra eyes on you and there is a record that follows you and you are being scrutinized for the way you look, the way you act, the way you dress. So you have to govern yourself accordingly. And I would have told myself that at 15, make sure that with everything you do, every waking breath, you're investing your time in a positive way.
Thank you, David. Artist Bronson, one of the young men who participated in the Community Council of Metro Atlanta's event, is on the line. Artist, thanks for waking up so early and joining us.
No problem. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, morning.
We've enjoyed everything that you've had to say. What do you want to add here?
I mean, there's not much to add other than, there's a lot to add, but my main concern is to emphasize the need that we have to assist others that, whether they have fallen short with education, whether they've got themselves set up in the criminal justice system in one way or another, or whether they're just down there. We have to be willing to show love to other people. I mean, when we talk about discrimination, when we talk about all these things, it all comes back to how much love.
Thank you, Artist. I love that remark about how much love, because a lot of the gentlemen talked about they're humans. I mean, what is it about us that we don't understand that young black men are human beings?
I don't think that's something. I think we all understand that young black men are human beings. But as a community, it's time for it to be a circle. You know, if the younger guys don't interface with the older guys, and the older guys don't interface with the younger guys, we don't have the back power to move the movement forward. And you don't have the wisdom to walk forward. And I think it's time for us to get back to people actually understanding that community, just like family, is a sacrifice. It's not about your needs. You know, I get up and I go volunteer, not for me. It's not about me anymore. And I understand that as a 30-plus-year-old man. There's a bigger picture. There's a young guy that needs inspiration from my actions. Martin Luther King died so I can have a chance. Malcolm X died so I can have a chance. Thousands of people died so I can have a chance. Not a chance to be white. Not a chance to want to be white. But a chance to be great being black. And to participate in the American experience as a black man, not as a separate entity that's here to champion my cause and change the world through making everyone feel my blackness, but by doing something great, and it's undeniable.
And then you don't have to prove anything.
I don't have
you
to can prove stand. Anything.
Dr. White, some last words from you?
A couple things. Young black males are not an anomaly. We're not a unusual specimen or an outlier that we have to begin to understand. We're really no different than anyone else. But here's the thing. We have to understand that who controls the perception or the label of us, which is what becomes most critical. And let me give you an example. I use this with my students about understanding perception. I ask everyone, have any of you heard about the Rodney King riots? And everyone says, I heard about the Rodney King riots. And I said, but have you heard about the Rodney King rebellion? And folks, I've never heard about the Rodney King rebellion. I'm saying, well, that's what that was. but it got labeled as a riot. Mm-hmm. That was riotous behavior, but it was a rebellion, rebelling against the criminal justice system. So my point here is that it becomes critical to control the label or the definition or the understanding of any phenomenon, because he who controls that is going to dictate what comes after that. I think the other thing that I want to kind of highlight based off what those brothers said in terms of looking back at themselves is, like I said before, that our behavior is predictable. And so our past is our resume. When you're in high school, that's your resume. That's your dossier. And when you get in trouble, the judge, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, everyone goes to look at, guess what? That record. Mm-hmm. So that's how they understand that whether or not what you did was truly outside of your behavior, or what you did was consistent of your behavior. And so that dialogue with the 14-year-old them is really about understanding what you need to grasp, that what you do today will define you on tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And I think that's hard for human beings to grasp, but I really do feel that that's hard for young people to grasp. And maybe we need to turn it around, David. You're saying the, you know, 18, 29-year-olds talk to older people. We might also need those 18 to 29, a closer cohort, to talk to those 14 and 15-year-olds. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for joining me in the studio this morning, bright and early, while the stars were still out. We've been talking with David Branch from the Community Council of Metro Atlanta and a community organizer, and also to Dr. Gary White with the organization Let's Make Man. You've been listening to The Local Take Presents Discourse, a dialogue of understanding. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Call us on the WCLK Community Engagement Line at 404-880-6211. The Local Take is produced by Rob Maynard, and special thanks to our CAU production intern, Jaime Wellman. Good morning, good people. We'll hear from you next week.